you for joining us again for this episode of the Studio Cast, brought to you by the Studio 4-8 team here at Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Snyder & Company Realtors. I'm Sarah Maddock here with my partners.
Todd Waller.
Jeffrey Post.
And we wanted to chat with you a little bit today about what you can expect at closing, leading up to closing, during the closing, a couple post-closing things, because even if you've closed two or three houses in your lifetime, it's just good to have these reminders about what to expect and how things are going to go procedurally so that when they come up, you feel comfortable moving on.
So, and we're talking from the seller side.
Yeah, let's talk about it from the seller side specifically. And we're going to have another episode related more to the buyers because there are some different considerations that we might have there. So as far as the seller goes, I wanted to bring this up because I had a closing last week and the question my seller had, who has closed on several houses, was, okay, so how do I get you your commission? Should I just bring you a check? And I thought, well, you can bring me a check if you
in
want to.
In a suitcase with stacked bills.
And they have to be non-sequential.
That's right.
Bills, fresh, right?
Yes. Leave it behind this building. It will be dark.
Right. And it occurred to me that, of course, you know, some of these things may not be obvious. So the first thing to talk about is when we close, there's a title company involved. Sometimes two title companies. Mm-hmm. We can talk about that. But there's always a title company involved, and they have several roles, one of which is to collect all the funds and disperse all the funds.
Kind of like a clearinghouse.
Sure, I guess. Yeah. And so, you know, any money being brought to the table by the buyer or the lender, and in the bad old days, sometimes the seller actually had to bring some money to the table, hopefully not ever again. But then the title company will break down in writing who is owed what. So that includes agent commissions, broker commissions, any taxes that aren't paid, any association dues that aren't paid, and I would say arguably most importantly, the seller's mortgage gets paid off by the title company. Mm-hmm. So the seller shouldn't expect to be sending any money to their mortgage company either. I mean, they will be, but it'll all be handled by the title company. So basically when the closing is complete, whatever is left after everyone is paid is the money that the title company will remit to the sellers, if any.
And don't forget any of that information, and this is so standard, but it goes without saying, none of that information should be shared publicly in a text, in an email, over social media, like that. You're going to get a secure lock from the title company. That's how you know this is the person I'm supposed to be sharing this information to. Right. This is the person that should have my account for my bank and any of that. And if it's not coming that way, don't trust it.
That's right.
And there may be some listeners right now, or even viewers, if you're catching this on video, that are confused because Michigan is not an attorney state. Mm-hmm. So we don't use attorneys regularly at all when it comes to closing out a transaction. So if you are someone who is selling a piece of property, but you live out of state, and specifically you live in a state that is attorney focused, you may be hearing this going, what's a title company? And so Sarah and Jeffrey have given you the best definition possible. They literally are the clearinghouse for the funds that come in and get paid out to the various things that are associated with your property. It's not to say that you can't bring an attorney to the gunfight, so to speak, but it's not something that we do naturally here in the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
I say that only because I'm working with a couple of clients that are from New York, and they're like, wait a minute, there's no attorneys?
Yeah. Right. I mean, we always encourage our people to have attorneys, and they're actually helpful. They may be there at the closing, in fact.
Yeah.
Usually at the closing, when you arrive, it's going to be the title agent, so whichever person that works at the title company who's who's explaining each piece of paper and making sure things are getting signed and notarized. So they will be there, the agent or agents, the buyer and seller. Sometimes we'll talk about that. So obviously the parties at hand. And then, an attorney or a family member.
Lender might be there.
Lender might be there. So that, and we all get in a room and kind of do that typically. Mm-hmm. Now, Todd, when the seller gets those proceeds, how would they get them?
So the title company will typically ask a few days prior to closing, hey, how would the seller like their proceeds? Again, those proceeds are the leftover monies after all of the other bills have been paid, so to speak, out of the closing. So those net proceeds, the seller would be given the opportunity. I can walk out of here with a check in hand, or the title companies will offer to wire those funds directly into your account. And so just as Jeffrey pointed out that there's a secure lock link that would be sent to you, that's in essence what's going to happen here. That title company is going to reach out to you, hopefully over the phone, and ask you how you would like your proceeds wired. Mm-hmm. Where do you want them wired? Mm-hmm. And again, cannot emphasize this enough. Make sure you are talking to somebody from the title company, not someone who is claiming to be the title company. Check with your agent, check with your lender. Mm-hmm. Make sure you've got the correct person at the title company talking to you, and you're giving them potentially your banking information, your routing number, and your bank account information.
I would say that's especially important on the buy side.
Correct.
Now, sometimes our sellers are going from closing on their house and immediately using those funds to close on their next property. Right. And the title company could be involved in making sure that the funds go from the seller's closing mm-hmm. directly to their next mm-hmm. purchase. So mm-hmm. if that's the case, again, communication with yes. Your agent, with the title company, is going to be really key to make sure that that's a smooth transition and that there's enough time to get all that done. Mm-hmm.
And you can see the importance of a title company.
Yeah.
And working with the right title company. If it's a cash deal, mm-hmm. there really is only ever going to be one title company involved. Mm-hmm. If it's working with lenders, mm-hmm. there you may have heard the term split closing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's when a buyer has one title company and a seller has another title mm-hmm. company. Mm-hmm. They work in concert. Sometimes they're both at the closing mm-hmm. table mm-hmm. together, but they're facilitating documents for their respective clients.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also, if you're doing any wiring of funds or anything like that, there'll be a wiring fee. Usually it's about $30 or something, yeah. mm-hmm. as opposed to if you do take a check. And if you do take a check, be sure that your next stop is at your bank.
Yeah.
Don't put it in your purse or your wallet and carry it around for the rest of the day.
I think there's pros and cons to check versus a wire. But one thing I'll bring up here that I've run into a couple of times, and it's important to know early on in the transaction, is the title company is only going to give the money, whether it be a check or a wire,
right.
to the people on the deed. Mm-hmm. So if it's a husband and wife, mm-hmm. they are both going to have... they're both going to get the proceeds. You can't give the proceeds to just one bank account and not the other. Mm-hmm. If it's a trust, if the property is in a trust, they will only give the money, the check will only be written to the trust account. So you need to have a bank account associated with that trust. Mm-hmm. So so just be aware of that whoever is on that deed, that's who's getting the money, and you want to make sure that you figure that out between you before you get to the title company. Otherwise, it can get, you know, a little bit hairy. So.
Now, besides the importance of snacks at the title company.
And tissue.
Yes, there are those moments, but there are also refreshments there.
That's right.
So that's an important part too.
That's right.
Because, you know, you may be there for 45 minutes. You may be there for a little bit longer mm-hmm. if they're waiting for the funds to show up.
Yep.
Sometimes people will go on and the title company will make a phone call and mm-hmm. say, we'll let you know when they come in. You don't have to sit at the table with all of that. On the selling side, one of the important things is making sure your name's off the utilities.
That's right.
There are things like utilities and keys, and obviously you're going to bring keys, door controls, anything associated with the house to the closing table. If you have brochures or operating manuals and things like that, always best to leave it at the house.
I agree.
Maybe in a kitchen drawer or something.
I have been at a closing where the seller kind of, I don't know, just the logic wasn't there, or they were just anxious to mm-hmm. give these things to the buyer. They were really sweet. But rather than just leave the box, they came with like a tote, practically like rolling in the file cabinet, you know, like, here's everything. And it's like, oh, thank you.
Yes.
You know, or they go around the neighborhood that maybe they've owned the house for a long time. They go around the neighborhood. They come with a big Ziploc bag with like 40 keys. Yeah. Like, I don't know where these go.
Yeah.
It might have been the shed that we had three sheds ago, and like, which is hilarious. But, you know, the more information you can bring to the buyer, honestly, it's really helpful. It's sweet when sellers make a list of mm-hmm. here's who we had lawn care, you know, here's our favorite plumber, here's the guy down the street who knows everything about the neighborhood. I mean, that's wonderful if a seller can do that and bring it to closing.
The utility thing is a phone call. It's fairly easy.
Yeah.
On the key, one little added point on the key thing, especially if you're buying a property that might have been a rental before, mm-hmm. have the locks changed. You know? You don't. As you were saying,
right.
Showing up with a tote of like 50 keys, maybe some of these.
Well, buyer should have the lock change. They can do that. Yeah,
absolutely.
So here's another point that's important to make for sellers. Mm-hmm. I think is that often our sellers are packing up and moving mm-hmm. before the closing.
Right.
And it's not difficult at all for us to have the closing without the seller. Now, having the closing without the buyer, that's another topic. We'll talk about that. That's a little harder. But as a seller, mm-hmm. there's a couple things that we can do, right? We can either go to the title company just together mm-hmm. and pre-sign everything, and then you pack up and move and go, and then you know, you just wait for the call. It's right. closed. Here's your money, you know. Or we can set up a notary and have the sellers, you know, sign remotely. So that's not difficult, actually, mm-hmm. and it shouldn't hold you up at all from your move. Whatever the closing date is on the contract, we can usually accommodate the sellers getting that ahead of time, which is great.
And if for some reason you know that, oh, a trip came up or a business meeting right. came up and you know you're not going to be there, make sure that one of us
right.
know that.
Yeah.
Because you do have to pre-plan in advance.
Right.
You have to make sure that they're notarized where you are and then sent back in time to
right.
meet the closing date. So, mm-hmm.
And so a good point here that you might be hearing is that not all closings happen with a buyer and a seller sitting at the same table.
That's right.
So take the flexibility for what it is. You mm-hmm. have the ability to pre-sign, get the document squared away, meet the calendar that you're operating on, but then also don't necessarily flip out if you find out that when you go to closing, the buyer's not there.
Yeah.
The buyer may have something going on in their calendar as well, and they may have signed remotely as well. And in this era of split closings where we've got different title companies, potentially they went to that title company
it's
to sign their
more.
Documents.
It's happening more for sure.
It definitely
yeah.
is. So if you find yourself with a smaller closing party in your room, I really hope you've got a fun closer.
You know, every time I hear the closing remotely,
yep.
I think of the person's on an island somewhere. It's like, you know, the remote island. I always think, we're closing remotely.
Or
they
might be
on the beach.
Or they might be 007.
Well, there's that too.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be, yeah.
He's like signing something in his Aston Martin with their
notary
thing.
Sorry.
let's talk a little bit about a few things that the seller might have to think about after closing, so post-closing.
Mm, yep.
So if you are currently, your property taxes are escrowed, so part of your monthly payment every month is feeding into an escrow and your mm-hmm. mortgage company is paying your tax bill for you, you should expect sometime after closing, whatever is left in that escrow account will get sent back to you.
Yep.
Now, they're slow. They don't want to give that money back. They will eventually. They're legally obligated. But after closing, you should expect to get whatever is left in that escrow account coming back to you. The second thing is, if you live in a municipal water and sewer area, mm-hmm. you will have a final bill after which will arrive after closing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay that, and sometimes there's an escrow for that. So you may also get the remittance back for that water escrow. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll explain that in more detail when it's time for your closing. But that's another check that might come
yep.
to you after
mm-hmm.
closing.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, when you go to close, once you are closed, you're going to call to cancel your insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have anything left in the month for your insurance, you will get that back as well. So there may be some little things like that that come back to you after closing, and we kind of try to keep track of it for you and help you, you know, did you
yep.
get that? Is it, are you clear?
It's kind of a fun after closing payday.
It is,
like,
it's nice.
Like finding a $5 bill in the pocket of your jacket.
Like,
hey.
Here's a $300, you know, proration for my insurance.
Water bill, we didn't use that much.
It's a bonus for closing successfully, right?
That's right, exactly. But we'll help you to keep track of all of that, too, as your agent. So, all right, well, thank you so much for joining us. We hope that gives you a little bit of a clearer picture about what to expect at closing. And we hope you all have happy closings and big fat checks. And come and join us again for the next podcast episode. This is Studio 48, Sarah Mack, Todd, and Jeffrey here, bringing you as much information as we can to help your real estate transaction go smoothly.